Hello and welcome to the More Than Digital Marketing podcast, a podcast about digital marketing and so much more. I'm one of your hosts today. My name is Jack and I'm joined by...
My name is Ricky.
Exciting times, Ricky. This is the first podcast that I have been on with you. This first podcast I've been on in a little while.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done it for the last... This is my third week now.
Yeah.
On the podcast.
I'm pretty sure that it's been sort of like the Ricky and Barnaby show for the past month.
Yep.
So yeah, I think there was a podcast last week. I mean, yep. I'm sorry to say and sorry to disappoint anyone that was expecting it, but there's no video this week.
No.
Unfortunately, Barnaby is poorly and he has all of our camera equipment. So we could blame him.
Yeah.
But also we send him, you know, get well soon vibes out into the ether. I hope he feels better soon.
Yes.
So Barnaby, I know you're listening. Hope you feel better when this comes out at the end of the week.
But we're also pinning it on you.
We are, yeah. But it also gives us time to do some set dressing. And yeah, next time we do a video, hopefully, not saying that it wasn't good, but I'm just saying we'll have a bit of a different background going.
Yeah.
Maybe some fairy lights or something.
Ooh.
You know,
gotta have
classic, you know, video content background for having a conversation. What have you been up to this week, Ricky? Are you having a nice week?
Yeah, I feel like I've been here, it'll be a month next week. So I feel like I'm getting into the swing of it now.
At what point do you stop counting?
I guess after a month, it becomes how many months you've been here.
Sure.
It's like when you... It stops being weeks and it becomes months and then years.
Yeah, when you have kids, it's like it starts off days, then weeks, and then just sort of stuck in like how many months. And, you know, toddlers are X amount of months. But
yeah. Yeah. After 18 months, you just go to years, right,
yeah,
with kids?
You stop paying attention.
Yeah.
And then you forget how old kids are, I guess.
Time
is flying, Ricky. You've been off to a great start.
Yeah, it's been great fun as well. Lots of different things on the go. Loving it. How has your week been?
My week has been really good. I was saying, so Matt and I were having a conversation this morning. It was like, you know, how's your week been? What have you been up to? I literally could not remember. I've just been here, there, everywhere, doing lots of different things.
I feel like you have been.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, no. On Monday, as a reminder, I was in a wellbeing workshop. It was a great workshop run by the NHS, and it was all about being a mindful manager and how to take care of your team and make sure that, yeah, essentially you're looking after them and their wellbeing and, yeah, looking after my own wellbeing as well. So, yeah, let me know if I'm not looking after you, Ricky. If I'm not
you
making...
have been so far. So
thank you. Well, that's good to hear. But yeah, and that sort of took a huge chunk out of my day. And I mean, considering it's only Wednesday, that was like, yeah,
half
so far,
week.
Essentially, yeah. So really good workshop. Took a big chunk of time out, and then yeah, I was out seeing clients yesterday, out seeing clients today, which I think is really important. It's really good to get out there and see people. And you know, I think we've talked about this, I'm sure, on the podcast before. You kind of get used to talking to people on Teams, but then you forget that there's sort of like something lost when you go and see people in
real
life.
It's really nice to see people in real life and see how tall people are, because that's always the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you talk on Teams, you never know how tall someone is until you meet them.
Have you had any situations where you've met someone on Teams and then been surprised by their height or stature?
Yeah, at my old work, I'd interviewed them when they were a student and then they became a member of staff and I'd never met them for like a few years and then they were a giant. They were like 6 foot or something.
Yeah, I can't say that I've had that kind of impact. I think maybe it's because like people have been holding bananas and things like whilst they've been on course and they'd be able to work out like how tall they are based on that.
Yep.
But I sort of feel not out of my depth, but I'm very privileged to be, you know, having a podcast with you today, Ricky, because you and Barnaby have been talking lots of social things recently. And so I wanted to talk about something social today.
Yep.
Because I didn't think you'd fancy talking about any of the other things that we tend to talk about here. We certainly won't be talking about AI.
No.
That ship has sailed. It'll come up again at some point, but not today.
Yeah.
But what we are going to talk about is socials. And so my idea for today's podcast was what I've called doing socials right. So this is idea of, you know, is there a right way to do it? And then thinking about, you know, so many people say that this is the way that you do it in terms of like, this is the theory behind it and this is how you should be doing it versus What's the actual reality behind that? And are there certain social channels, people on socials that we follow, that we recognize that we're following? And do we think that they kind of like are meeting these kind of like theoretical social best practice things that people should be following?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think there's lots to go through here. And I think with socials, you do sometimes get so lost in the best practice and this is what we should do. And actually, it's really nice sometimes to step away and think outside the box a little bit and look at what other people are doing. So yeah, I'm excited for this one.
Awesome. So some of the creative ideas behind this have been lifted or taken, or we've taken some inspo from Hootsuite. There was an article that I found that actually was updated about 2 weeks ago. So a Hootsuite article called Create Engaging and Effective Social Media Content. So that's our theory that we're kind of basing some of this on. And I know, Ricky, you've got some thoughts as to how best practice is this. Yeah. So Hootsuite, if you're listening, Ricky's got some feedback for you.
Sorry.
And yeah, and then we've kind of got a list of a few of our sort of, I guess, people that we follow, people that we know, people that we like,
yeah,
and are going to be, yeah, talking about them in relation to some of this best practice. So with that being said, we'll obviously share the different links that we're going to be referencing as we go. And you can find that in description for this week's episode. So Ricky, where do you want to start?
So I think we should start at some of the basics. So I think visuals is quite a nice place to start. So how to use visuals on social media.
Sure.
I think just going off kind of the very basic stuff that you kind of understand when you're first working in social media, obviously visuals are one of the most important things when putting together something for social media. It's the first thing that's going to catch people's attention. And I think visuals have changed a lot in terms of what people want to see on social media. So whereas a few years ago, it might have been really beautifully created imagery, I think that is changing a little bit more now. And people are looking for maybe more authentic posts and a bit more real life. So I think there is a step away from that kind of social media, everything's perfect, to things that are a little bit more real and raw. So yeah, I thought that might be an interesting place to start.
I think that that's also kind of the way that things have maybe been sort of trending for a long time. And like, it's just kind of like being formalized with every sort of iteration of everything that's happening. So I think people do have this sort of recognize that people fabricate things on, yeah, social media a little bit, just to say like, this is, you know, everyone on social media is living their best life, and
yeah,
we're all very aware of that, and we all know that, you know, just whatever's happening in the world of social media is not a 100% true reflection of everything, yeah, that's actually true, you know, be it, you know, in friends or celebrities, whatever it might be. Like, they're always going to be showing like the best parts, yeah, of their lives, as opposed to like, you know, the not so good parts. That's been a trend for ages, and yep, everyone's sort of aware of that. And I do agree that like, people are just looking for that, I don't know, that reality, like you said.
Yeah. And I think something for me that's very big is like the authenticity. So I know like for Gen Z in particular, that's what they want to see. They want to see real people. They want to see, they understand. And I think this is where things have changed slightly, maybe in the last couple of years. Brands for a long time were behind the trend on this, and they were still trying to have that kind of squeaky clean persona. And I think probably in the last 2 years, they've started to put faces behind in front of brands that maybe were behind the scenes before, and giving a bit more of a personality to their voice as well, which has been really nice.
Yeah, no, definitely. What do you think sort of like is driving that?
I think it is this idea of, I guess, Gen Z in particular, they grew up on social media. So I guess I'm a zillennial, so I'm slap bang in the middle of
I've never heard that term before.
I'm slap bang in the middle of a millennial and a Gen Z.
Interesting.
So there are parts of millennials that I relate to, and there are parts of Gen Z that I relate to.
Are you happy to share which parts you relate to?
Yeah, so I guess I grew up with social media in the background. So I didn't have a phone that would access social media all the time from a young age. It was something I still had to go home and like log into my family computer, but it was there from probably about the age of 10, I guess. There was that kind of thing. So social media has been present, but not in the same way it has been for Gen Z. And I think they're growing up seeing this. As we said earlier, a few years ago, it was very created. It was very perfect. It was very, everything's great. And I think as they've grown up, they've wanted to see the real life. And yeah. They've also now joined social media and have their own platforms, and they're wanting to change that. So I think that's probably where some of this is coming from. And obviously that influences what brands do as they do audience research, etc.
Yeah, I like the idea that they're like behind the curve and only just catching up.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess beyond visuals then, I think for me and my, I want to say very loosely, millennials kind of like approach to social media.
Yep.
Hashtags are sort of like, at least the way that, you know, socials have always been, you know, once the hashtag was introduced, it was like, how many should you use? And you should be using hashtags all the time. How relevant are hashtags these days?
Yeah. So again, when I started working in social media, the rule was 30 hashtags. Every post on Instagram has to have 30 hashtags. And definitely not the case now. They are useful, but they should be specific to what it is that you're posting.
And when we're saying they're useful, why are they useful?
So basically they act, so social media now is a search engine for a lot of people. So people are going to Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all the platforms for different things. And part of that is to use it as a search engine. So I was looking for a hairdresser the other day. I went to Instagram. I didn't go to Google. I went to Instagram and put hairdressers in my area and found some content and tried to find a hairdresser that way. So the way that I would have found that content is through hashtags, not solely through hashtags, but if you've got relevant hashtags, so if someone had hashtagged the location, hairdressers, and maybe the type of hairdresser I was looking for, that content is more likely to be seen by me. And having it relevant is so important, because you don't just want to be in front of anyone, you want to be in front of relevant people. So if you are a hairdresser, you don't want to be targeting people who have no interest in spending any money on their appearance. You want to be targeting people who are looking for a hairdresser.
Do you reckon some hashtags, or just the use of hashtags, are going to be more useful for certain kinds of businesses over others? Or even, you know, I guess we're talking about it in a business sense, more useful just for like general people as well? Because ultimately what we're saying is a hashtag is a, you know, a phrase, a keyword that people can like search to find you.
It's our version of SEO.
Essentially.
Yeah. I think gone are the days where your friends would just put hashtags for no reason into posts, or at least if they do, there's no reason for it. And I think it is more for accounts that want to grow their following. So that could be influencers, that could be businesses. But if you're just posting for anyone, there is no point.
Sure. So what about, because shadow banning is a word that's been thrown around a lot through overuse of hashtags.
Yeah.
How does that work in terms of, you know, if we're saying you're a hairdresser and, you know, you're in a particular location and you want to get found for a particular service that you're offering, your service isn't changing on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
But like, if I keep using the same hashtags over and over again, they're relevant, but am I going to be shadow banned?
Yeah. So I think shadow banning is a thing. I think sometimes it can be used as an excuse when people haven't perhaps got the reach that they wanted. They just jump to that. But I think as long as you are being true to your content, and I think there will be variance in what you're posting, and if there isn't, then you need to change how you're posting. So if you're a hairdresser and one day you've posted a discount code for your services, that's going to have different hashtags to when you've posted a transformation. And that's going to have different hashtags to when you've posted maybe a child's cut or a man's cut or a woman's cut. So you need to make it specific to that post and not just have it as hairdressing.
Sure.
That's too generic.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And it's sort of like, you know, like you were saying, comparing it to SEO just before, it's kind of a case that like every page should have its own unique set of keywords. If you're using the same keywords over and over again, the opportunity for your posts or your pages to get found are going to be, it's going to be much harder to do that essentially.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be competing with yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So I threw you under the bus with hashtags. Do you want to choose the next one that we're going to go to?
Yeah, so I think emojis is a nice next one to go to.
What, from hashtags to emojis?
From hashtags, I am a social media manager. This is what I do with my life.
What, you just live through visuals, hashtags and emojis?
That's it.
Perfect. Well, yeah, we were talking about hashtag. Sorry, we were talking about emojis before we came in here, and you had some really good insights. So, because I was sort of saying how when you're using a screen reader, it's like, as far as I'm concerned, it's okay to have emojis. But instead of, yeah, jumping the gun, tell me what you think about emojis.
So emojis are great. Emojis are fun, but emojis should be used in a very careful way. I am a little bit obsessed with accessibility on social media, and it's something that I talk about quite a lot, and I'm quite passionate about as well, because I think social media should be the place where everyone can access content and enjoy spending their time. And I think a lot of companies or organizations or just general people don't understand how to best use accessibility guidelines. So emojis are a very easy thing that you can get right. And as a general rule, I personally go by the rule of one emoji per post, and that emoji should appear at the end of a sentence. So if you have a post scattered with emojis, it is going to disrupt how a screen reader reads a sentence. So especially if you have them at the start or in the middle of a sentence, it's really going to be difficult for a screen reader to make sense of that sentence. Yes, it will read out the emoji, but if you think of how an emoji is read out, that very quickly becomes jarring. So if you keep the emojis at the end of a sentence and only include one in a post, it just makes it so much easier for someone to understand what that post is about.
Sure. It's almost like adding an exclamation point at the end.
Yeah.
That sort of like is highlighting a particular sort of, I guess, emotion that you're trying to convey. A very interesting sort of part of this, I guess, guide, if you want to call it a guide, from Hootsuite. They talk about around emojis, saying every emoji should have a purpose. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. And I think, again, gone are the days where you just put emojis everywhere. I think there should be a reason for them. I think if your post doesn't need an emoji, don't force it. Like, only include them when they're relevant. Generally, though, there will be a relevant emoji. And I think the key thing for me is, like, it can be fun. It doesn't have to be the obvious emoji for that post. You can have fun with it, but just think about the positioning of it.
Sure. Playing devil's advocate, if you have a really long post, there is a wall of text. I would say that the use of emoji sort of helps to break up, you know, some of those parts so that you're not necessarily looking at just like, oh my God, there's so much text here. I think emojis, and this is how I've seen other people using them, is if you have, you know, different paragraphs within your post and you're adding essentially, I don't know, headings to each of those paragraphs, like it adds something to put an emoji that's almost, as you scan it, you're seeing all these emojis and you're kind of like already, you know, what you say, a picture paints 1,000 words, like maybe an emoji paints 100. Like,
yeah, and I do see your point. I think, again, content's moved, so whereas before captions generally were quite short, then they were very long, then they were short, then they were long. I think if you're doing long form on social media, yes, you can use more than one emoji. But as a general rule, unless you are writing lots and lots and lots, one emoji should be enough.
Cool. That's very easy to follow. Any emojis that we should avoid? Or is that not a not something to go down?
So there can be some. So some platforms have claimed that the pointing finger down emoji can affect reach.
Interesting.
It's never been confirmed as far as I have found. So I think you've just got to be careful. Experiment. If something suddenly flops, maybe think about it. But I wouldn't worry too much.
Yeah. And in terms of, you know, thinking of how we're talking, we've gone the actual visuals, we're talking hashtags, now we're talking emojis. What about the actual content itself? So in terms of, like, you know, you said that we've gone between long and short and long and short and long and short. I sort of like have a question just around the actual purpose of a post, because again, sort of thinking of like from an SEO background and thinking about, you know, I would like to be thinking from a business perspective that every post should be driving people to do something. what's your take on that? So in terms of just calls to action, because I work with businesses and we work with businesses who complain about the fact that social isn't driving traffic to their website. And then you look at their socials and there's no links to any of their web pages. And you start to sort of like ask, well, how is the social post going to drive traffic to the website if you're not helping to signpost those sorts of things? So it's kind of like, I guess, what is the purpose of the posts that you're creating?
Yeah, so I guess that really depends on the business's goals and what they want to achieve. So there definitely is a place for brand building on socials. And I really believe that not every post should be a call to action or should be driving traffic to a website, because especially as a consumer, I follow accounts that will give me something other than just trying to get me to buy something from them.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that there is definitely a place for brand building on social media, and that should make up a good proportion of what you're posting. But if you are not getting traffic from your social media, then you need to have another look at what you're doing. There is such an opportunity to get customers or get interest in your business from social media. And there are so many different ways you can do that. And I often see really key things being missed, like you said, like not including your website, say on Instagram in the bio. Why isn't that there? And I've done it before where I've been really interested in a brand and I've gone to their Instagram and I can't find a link anywhere, or they've got the link in the text and I'm not copying and pasting that and then going over to Google and putting it in.
Yeah.
So there are really easy things you can do to make sure that you are getting traffic from your social posts, but that shouldn't be your only goal on social media.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think just in terms of, I think that there's a bit of a responsibility with a business to also understand, or at least make some kind of a social strategy to say,
Yes. This
is how we're going to be using social. And okay, some of the posts can drive the traffic, but to sort of come back and say, our social isn't working because it's not driving traffic to the website. And is that why you're using social? Is that what you're trying to achieve? Because if that's what you're trying to achieve, then you should double down on that strategy and find the best way to achieve that. Or if there's something else you're trying to achieve, then work to achieve that. So exactly what you were saying, just, through awareness or other things beyond just driving traffic to a website. So
get your strategy down, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. So might be a good point now to sort of take some of those, I guess, like theoretical best practices that we were just talking about and go to talk about some of the accounts that we've kind of made some notes around. So we have a list here of some of the creators. All of mine, I hate to say it, are YouTube creators, because that's where I tend to spend most of my time. And YouTube is a social platform.
Yep, it is.
And Ricky, I don't know where you've taken yours from, but I think it might be a bit of a combination of a few.
Yeah, so these ones are generally Instagram and TikTok. As a millennial, I do spend more time on Instagram than TikTok.
There you go.
So
actually, one of the first ones that I wanted to talk about was Mr. Beast.
Yeah.
And I guess as a bit of a disclaimer, I've actually never watched any of Mr. Beast's content, but I think it's really hard to not talk about how to do social right and how to do, I guess, video content right without even talking about Mr. Beast being one of the, if not the biggest content creator in the world, full stop. And this kind of loops back to something you were saying before around sort of reality and like the way that things are sort of progressing and what Gen Z kind of want to see, because I was watching something or listening to something the other day. They were talking about Mr. Beast and how these, I guess, sort of like the landscape is kind of shifting and moving forwards, and like was exactly what you were saying, that people are looking for that more authentic content from content creators, which is kind of a bit of a strange sort of place where Mr. Beast sits at the moment, because he is technically sort of not very authentic in sort of the way that he's sort of producing his content, because he produces content that he knows is going to go viral, and he's all about this sort of hustle culture, and he's always sort of showing that he's always at 100 and never takes any time off. And people don't necessarily want to see that and want to sort of like, or at least want that to be the thing that they're trying to drive to be. And people don't want to be Mr. Beast because that's impossible.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, can Mr. Beast like shift with that change in tone of being a bit more authentic himself and being a bit more, I guess, vulnerable and showing that like this hustle culture is really hard and not necessarily something that you should be aspiring to be.
Yeah. And I guess one thing to think about as well is there will always be someone doing the opposite to what is the trend. And that is probably what helps make them successful. But as soon as everyone tries to replicate that, then it's not going to work anymore. So I think there will always be one or two people who are doing something different to everyone else, who are still kind of having that very life is perfect persona, and they will find success. But that might partly be because that's not what you want to see all the time. It's a nice change from everything else.
Yeah. So I guess going back to some of the things we were talking about, you know, visuals, emojis, hashtags, that sort of piece.
Yes.
How does that, so do we think that Mr. Beast, like what's Mr. Beast doing to be, you know, the biggest content? And obviously if we could answer that, then we'd all be.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we'd all be the biggest YouTubers on the planet. But I think that there is sort of an element of, you know, he has been looking at best practice and has been testing and has been working really hard to understand what, you know, what is ultimately going to drive the, you know, the most engagement. Yeah. I know things that I've read before, and something that I was reading about earlier is just the fact that he creates content for his subscribers.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's ultimately creating content that he knows is going to make people happy. And that's kind of his motivation. And he understands his audience.
Yeah.
So like clearly and like at such a fundamental level that he knows that if he creates this content, his audience are going to enjoy it and they're going to, you know, keep following it. And he's basically just creating stuff that he knows is going to make people happy.
And that's the thing. If you can get your audience right and down, then that will really help drive success. So I think he knows, like you said, he knows who his audience is. He's also so consistent in his posting.
Yes.
So like in how they look, how they feel, like you said, who the audience is, and when he's posting, he is so consistent. So you know that there's going to be that content there to engage with. I think I've had times where I've followed an account and loved their stuff and been really invested, and then they've just stopped posting for a month. By the time they start posting again, I've moved on to something else. I'm not interested anymore. So yeah. I think that consistency definitely helps.
On a side note, you can always listen to this podcast every Friday. always posting every Friday.
We never miss one.
Never miss an episode. So yeah, thanks for tuning in this week. You'll hear another episode the following week.
Yes.
Without fail. And you can also watch them on YouTube. Not this week.
No.
But definitely next week.
Consistency.
Consistency is key. So yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you're saying, just that consistency. Yeah. I think just if we go back again to like that, the visual element, all of his thumbnails are, you know, you see a thumbnail and you straight away, you know it's Mr. Beast. So again, that even that consistent visual language is there. So yeah, I wouldn't suggest that we should all be like Mr. Beast, but he's definitely following some of these best practice that we've kind of talked about.
Yeah, definitely.
So have you got one, Ricky, from your list you'd like to pull and share with everyone out there?
So I was having to think about who I follow, and I was actually also thinking about how I found them. So one of the accounts that I follow on Instagram is Heart Starts Pounding. And it's she's also got a podcast series as well. So I found her through Reels. My algorithm knows that I am interested in true crime. So it serves me lots of true crime content. And it served me a video from this account talking about a case. I watched it, saw that there was a podcast, there was a link in the bio. I now listen to that podcast every week. So I think following best practice, I found her organically through an Instagram reel, and now I tune in every week. I listen, I engage with her content. When she posts things, I react, I engage. It's kind of the go-to story, I guess.
Can you remember what was so engaging about that initial story that sort of pulled you in?
Yeah, so it was about a case that I had already heard of, but I didn't know the details of. And it was delving into the truth behind a story that's been told lots of times. So it's one of those where it's an urban myth. You kind of have heard people say, oh yeah, this is true, you know. But what actually is true is what she was talking about. So it was that initial, oh yeah, I've heard this, but have you heard this? Do you know the truth behind it? That's what got me.
A real hook.
Yeah, but to be honest, anything true crime probably will get my interest. The videos are really well made. I think one thing that I am hoping content creators will start to do more is the longer form content. Because when I'm watching these videos and you get to a really good bit and they say go to part two, then you have to go onto their page and then you have to scroll and find part two. And I just find it really annoying. And I think Instagram made it that way so that that's what, you know, sticking to that TikTok short form content. But I think that is a place for those 10 minute videos sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm hoping it will start to move because it really annoys me. But yeah, so that was kind of the perfect sequence, I guess, yeah, as a consumer of finding something that I love and I now consume.
Yeah, the perfect journey.
Yeah. And she's very consistent in her posting. Her videos are very visual. And yeah, she's very consistent in her podcasting as well.
Cool. Do you know they're using particular hashtags to get picked up? Are they different hashtags every week?
I am on her page now, so I am going to click on some and just have a look. So I know looking through, there are some very generic ones in there, which I personally would get rid of if you're listening. But most of them are very specific to the cases she's talking about and the actual content that she's kind of wanting people to engage with. But yeah, there are a few ones that I'd get rid of if I was her.
Jumping back into my list. So
yes.
I think I made just a random list about all these random YouTubers that I do actually follow beyond Mr. Beast. And one of the first ones that I wanted to at least talk about, we're not going to go through the whole list because we'll be here all day.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about Marquise Brownlee. So okay. Have you heard of him before?
I hadn't. And I had a quick search when I saw him on your list. But no, I'll be honest, I had not.
Interesting. So I have talked about him on the podcast before, but it was because there was a 30 under 30. Okay. I think it was a Forbes 30 under 30, like content creators, and he was one of them. And yeah, he's basically like a tech sort of, I want to say tech reviewer.
Okay.
To be very honest, I have no interest in like tech, okay, like the latest iPhones and the latest like whatevers. It's not my scene.
Yeah.
But the reason why I wanted to talk about him is, again, just kind of like from this content perspective of like, if you are doing content well, you can make it engaging for an audience kind of beyond kind of that central audience or that core audience where, like, I guess I'm tangentially interested, where it's like, yeah, it's cool, you know, like cars and tech and phones and whatever. It's like, yeah, okay, I am kind of interested, but not to the point that I'll sit and watch a 30-minute video. But it's so slick, it's done so well, he's so engaging, and like he's just got it like such a great format. Again, like going back to that visual style, like visually it's really engaging, he's really engaging, like the way that he talks. And yeah, just I kind of wanted to highlight as a creator, like you don't have to be, I guess, like talking to people that are only interested in the thing that you're doing. If you're doing the content well enough, like the people will come, essentially.
Yeah, and I think thinking about him from my perspective, I probably would never engage in this content. But if you have got a slight interest, if he is presenting himself like you've said, that will be enough to draw in those people who wouldn't generically engage with it. So yeah, I don't think you're going to get everyone, but you don't want everyone either.
No.
You just want those, if you can get in those who are a maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
That's when you're winning.
But yeah, he's up there with, like, again, in that space, he's really well regarded and very well liked. And yeah, even like at one of the Apple keynotes, I know that he was one of the people that they sort of referred to in their keynotes as like, he's one of the people that reviewed our products and said that it was really good. So I think he felt like really honored that he'd even been like included in the keynote. But yeah, really good. I mean, I'm not that bothered by him. Like, it's not the sort of content that I would be looking for. But when it's served to me, and again, sort of going back to the things that we're talking about, you know, he's obviously doing the just that core sort of element of like the visuals, the titles, the hashtags. He's not using wild amounts of emojis on YouTube.
Yeah.
But he is sort of like playing that YouTube game so well that his content is being discovered and then served to people like me that is, you know, I'm partly interested in what he's doing.
Yeah. Amazing.
What a glowing review.
I've got one more that I would like to talk about if we've got time.
Let's do it.
So I want to talk about this one because I think her content is very different to a lot of best practice. So the account is called Vulgar Drawings and her name's Lily. So it's she's a feminist writer and cartoonist. And her content is great visuals. They're all her illustrations explaining topics. But what I think is interesting is she doesn't jump on a lot of the trends of like reels or changing up how she posts. If you scroll through her account, it has been very similar the way she posts for years. And I think she has found that that works for her. And I think one of the things that makes it work is all of her content is so shareable. So I was thinking back to how I found this account and someone shared one of her illustrations on their stories on Instagram. And I thought it was really interesting. So she breaks down different feminist ideas or topics or sometimes topical kind of conversations that you may have heard but not really understand and puts them into like funny little drawings. So someone shared this on their story and I thought it was really funny, but also interesting. I learned something. So I went on her account and was like, oh, there's loads of these. These are great. And follow her. And whenever she posts, I always read her content, engage with it, because she's found her audience and she's consistent.
Yeah.
And I think the shareability is the main thing that works for her. You want to share her stuff. You go, wow, I've learned something. Maybe someone else I know will too.
Yeah, definitely. I think there are a few buzzwords that we've been throwing around whilst we've been chatting. As we've moved from theory to reality, consistency is definitely one of those points that have come up. Shareability hasn't really been covered until we were just talking about vulgar drawings just now. But yeah, I think that can't be overlooked, that whatever you're doing, it needs to be something that can be sort of pushed beyond or something that people want to share. It's not like you're saying, this is my thing, please share it.
Yep.
It's that people are saying, this is really great, I need to share it, because you've got to sort of get it out there.
Yeah. And I think, again, that's knowing your audience, knowing what is useful to them. Because if something is useful to them, it's probably useful to other people that they know. So for me, I'm interested in feminism, as, you know, everything that comes under that. So if I see something that is really engaging, interesting, and maybe different to all the other stuff you see, I'm going to engage with it and I'm going to want to share it with my friends. So I can't remember who originally shared one of their posts on their stories, but thanks, because I'm a big fan now.
Awesome. So I guess that's gonna close us out for this week's episode of the More Than Digital Marketing podcast. I think closing thoughts: be visual. Get your hashtags in there, be consistent, create things that are shareable, but ultimately know your audience. And I think a really big part of this is that there probably doesn't appear to be much strategy that's going on behind the scenes of all these accounts that you're seeing that you're like, oh, this stuff's so good. But there probably is. And I would say 99% there is someone behind the scenes thinking really carefully about how they're posting, when they're posting, who they're posting for, why are they posting it, and, you know, what is the end goal behind everything that they're doing. And I guess the point here being that if you don't necessarily feel that you are kind of at that point there, then obviously at Optic Solutions, we can give you a hand with that. So if you're a bit lost with socials, come and speak to amazing experts like Ricky. We've got Barnaby, we've got Sophie, we've got loads of people in-house that can give you a hand.
Yeah.
If you want to reach out to us, you can just contact either info@opticsolutions.co.uk or reach out to us at podcast@opticsolutions.co.uk, and we'll be more than happy to give you a hand.
Definitely.
Any closing thoughts, Ricky?
No, I think I've used, like you said, I've used lots of buzzwords there, talked about some of my favorite accounts, and loved it.
Amazing. Well, thank you very much for, I definitely learned something. So thanks for sharing.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And yeah, have a great weekend out there, everyone. Enjoy, hopefully, some good weather.
Fingers crossed.
Spring's here. Right, thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.